Well, I'm delighted to welcome an old friend of Vectus Radio, Joe Rees, back again. It's been a wee while since you were in, so I know there's been lots of exciting things happening, so do tell.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me back. Yeah, I can't actually remember the last time I came in, but I think it must have been over a year ago.
Definitely over a year ago.
Yeah, life has been busy. Really busy. So the business actually is really going from strength to strength. So I don't really do any dyslexic teaching anymore. It's mostly assessment that I do, and I can now do assessment remotely online. Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of dyslexia assessment happening. I'm just trying to think, actually. There's so much has been happening. It's just been super, super busy. So a coaching program I've created. One of the things I'm finding time and time again is that I think because I'm on TikTok and got quite a big social media following.
Yeah, what are we up to now?
112,000, I think.
That's quite a big following.
Quite a big following. But interestingly, I'm coming across more and more adults that are undiagnosed and that are finding that it impacts everyday life, because that is one of the things about dyslexia is people, you hear the word dyslexia, you straight away think reading and spelling, and many people just think education. When I'm through school, it's not going to go away, but it won't impact me as much. And actually, that's a bit of a lie.
We know that's not true from personal experience.
And it actually impacts everyday life, I think, even more than it impacts you when you're in education.
Yeah.
And even more so if you don't have a diagnosis. And the thing is, as adults, you know, I'm really pro-diagnosis, but not everybody can afford a diagnosis, and actually not everybody wants a diagnosis. Yeah. Sometimes it is literally just about knowing what to do to support your weaknesses.
Absolutely, isn't it? Do people want that label?
Yeah.
Or do they actually just want to be supported and understood?
Yeah.
Or both for some people.
Yeah.
But, having the diagnosis isn't going to change anything by just having that, is it? It's what you do with it, isn't it?
So, because I've been doing this for quite a long time now, and also I've learnt to manage my own dyslexia, my children's dyslexia, I've worked with quite a lot of adults, I put together a challenge, an online kind of coaching programme that works through how to manage dyslexia in everyday life, either with or without a diagnosis, but you don't need a diagnosis to access it. And it was really affordable. It was all delivered remotely online, and that was hugely successful. So I'm running that again in June. Mm-hmm. But the four pillars of that really were kind of working out where your dyslexia or neurodiversity, you could use it regardless of what your neurodiverse kind of neurodivergent thing that was going on was, you could use the same program. So it was about working out where that is impacting you on a day-to-day life to kind of highlight where your weaknesses are, if you like, and where you might need to do a bit more work, put a bit more support in. And then the next kind of pillar, if you like, the next week we worked on managing mistakes. I think if you're neurodivergent, you make a lot more mistakes, and those mistakes are often amplified. Mm-hmm. So it was all about identifying those mistakes, and again, how you could potentially reframe them, how you can be proactive and put strategies in place to potentially not stop that mistake, but minimize the impact of the mistake. And then the next week we worked on strengths. I've lost count of the amount of time people who are neurodivergent tell me they don't have strengths.
Yeah.
So actually we did a whole week on kind of really digging deep into those strengths and what they were and how they could use them to potentially support some of their weaker areas. And then the final week was all about advocating for ourselves positively. So with everything that we'd learned through that coaching program, what did we need to put in place to ensure that we're advocating for ourselves positively going forward? So it's hugely successful. So I plan to run that again in June. So I'll be advertising that and marketing and getting people to sign up throughout May. That'll be running online again in June. And off the back of that, top secret, you heard it here first, I'm in the process of creating something for children as well that will potentially launch in the summer holidays, but again, it will be something that will be able to be run all year round.
Yeah.
And I really want to do that through an app. I don't know if I'm going to be able to get that bit quite up and running by the summer holidays, but I'm in the process of kind of creating something similar for children and young adults, really, sort of up to sort of 16, 17 year olds.
Because I think it's really interesting, and as I've talked before, both my children have dyslexia, amongst other things. And so much now is being turned around and it's talked about like it's a superpower.
Yeah.
And while it's great to kind of say to young people, actually, there's real strengths, they will always turn around to me and say, no, there are times when it's really not. And there are times when it's really annoying and it gets in the way of being able to do things and it makes me feel like I'm not good enough. So,
yeah,
I love what you're doing there with, like, actually, let's look at it as a whole.
And it's interesting, actually. I've literally just written a post this week just gone on LinkedIn about how I don't think any neurodivergence is a superpower. Mm. And actually, we all have strengths. It's just neurotypical people have different strengths to... And we're actually living in a neurotypical bias kind of world if we want to get really deep into it. But what worries me with the term superpower is it minimises the struggles. But not only that, it implies that somehow we're superhuman and I've not yet met a human that is superhuman. So, yeah, we could do a whole interview on that.
Yeah, and if you're the person who's just been diagnosed and thinking... Well, if everyone else thinks they've got a superpower, I don't feel it.
Exactly.
What's wrong with me?
And for me, you know, I've just been diagnosed with ADHD as well. You know, for me, my ADHD and my dyslexia are everything that I find difficult. But it, and again, it's subjective, isn't it, a superpower? Because if you've been in the privileged position where you've got assessments, you understand how those neurodivergences impact you, you've had support and coaching, then yeah, fine, fair enough. You might have really nailed your superpowers and be in that privileged position to be able to solely be working with them. But not everybody is in that position. So it's an interesting discussion for sure.
And I think, again, you know, when we talk about people with, say, dyslexia who've been hugely successful, I mean... Richard Branson's the one that always kind of gets brought up. But actually he found his niche in life and he got support in the right places. And if you're in that kind of position, fantastic. But if you are just Joe Average in a normal job where your employer actually isn't terribly supportive... you're going to find that really hard, aren't
you? And it's definitely not going to feel like a superpower.
No.
So, yeah, so those coaching programmes have been really exciting. The other thing which I've done, again, you heard it here first, is I have been trying to really model to my community. I now feel a sense of responsibility as I've got all of these people following me. I've been really trying to model to my community that actually dyslexia really doesn't have to be a barrier. And today, literally just before I came here, I just submitted a tender. The British Dyslexic Association are going to be carrying out a piece of research to try and kind of document more formally the lived experiences of young people with dyslexia between the ages of 13 and 18. And I think that all dovetails into Jamie Oliver's current campaign where he's actually had a meeting in the House of Commons where he is really campaigning for change along with Kate Griggs by Dyslexia. And I have never done any research before. And actually, from the moment I got my diagnosis at 34, have done no formal qualifications, which is ironic, because until that point, I literally every other year I was doing some sort of postgrad. Anyway, I decided to be brave and I've actually submitted a tender for the research. No idea if I will even get an interview, but to have even been able to put something together that I felt like I could submit was a huge achievement.
Yeah, absolutely.
Quite a lot of project work has been happening. So yeah, watch this space. Who knows? If I get selected, I'll come back and do another interview.
I would love you to, absolutely. So I know since we last met, you've hosted, produced, delivered a conference on the island. So tell us a little bit about that.
It was incredible. So it was last November the 13th at the Lakeside in Wootton, and it kind of came about because I've become unintentionally a bit of a go-to person on the Isle of Wight for Senkos to ask questions. This particular week, about this time last year actually, I had Senkos asking me about screening tools, asking me about dyscalculia, which is to do with maths, and asking me about interventions as well, and a particular intervention called Morph Mastery, which is an intervention created by a lady called Louise Selby. Anyway, I started to respond to these Senkos individually, and then I was like, actually, I've got connections with somebody. I'm really good friends with Kat and Rob, who founded the Dyscalculia Network. You know, Louise Selby is somebody I'd connected with at the dyslexia show last year. I knew of this amazing new screening tool called Talamo, created by a guy called Jamie Wace, who I'd kind of connected with. And I was like, wonder if I could get these people to come to the Isle of Wight and like create a conference. Obviously, funding was a bit of an issue. Mm-hmm. And at this point, I'd also had really good connections with Hampshire Dyslexia Association. So I contacted them and basically said, have you got any funding available? I like want to create this conference. Mm. So they said, get us prices, get us quotes, nail down who you would potentially have, and we'll see what we can do. Mm-hmm. The abridged version is it was all booked and sorted within 4 days.
Oh my goodness.
So it was amazing. Obviously meant to be. And then there was obviously the angst of selling it, because I appreciate schools have got really bad budgets at the moment, but it was sold out. We actually had a waiting list. And it was really successful, and I can only explain it as it felt like Christmas. Mm-hmm. So many people asked me the day before if I was nervous, if I was worried, if I was stressed, and I just really wasn't. It just felt so right. And the day before the conference genuinely felt like Christmas Eve. Like, it was just fantastic. And it was just such an incredible day for Senkos to connect. We had some people come from, some Senkos come from off island as well. So, yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. And I had representation, I think, from all but 6 schools on the Isle of Wight.
That's fantastic.
Even schools that were earmarked to be closed attended. Yeah. So, it was just incredible. And off the back of that, so I was like, this is going to be a one-hit wonder. I'm not sure that I can recreate it. And then I've been working with a coach myself. And he questioned at one point in February, he said, Joe, why are you not recreating this? And I said, well, I'm just worried. Like, what if it was just like a one-off and I can't do it again? The pressure had got to me. And he said, don't be ridiculous. Of course you can do it. So I wrote up my dream list of speakers. So off the back of the feedback of the delegates from last year, I wrote a list of my wish list speakers, and again, contacted them all to see if they were available on the 13th of November. Again, I just picked the date and they were all available. So I've booked them, and it's happening again this year on the 13th of November. And it goes on sale this week.
And so, so lovely, because I love the fact that it's that kind of passing the baton on. Mm. So everyone who attended has gone away with new information that they're then sharing with people. And then someone down the line, a child is benefiting from that.
And it's actually, there's actually an even bigger ripple than that, because there was one head teacher there, Maggie from the executive head of St Thomas's and St Mary's, and she really ran with it. And as a result, she has booked Rob from the Dyscalculia Network to do consultancy at her schools, but is also running some INSET that is available to all schools on the island.
Brilliant.
So that is happening. I think that's happening this half term, actually. And she's also booked Louise Selby is coming back to do several different training packages. She's doing a 1 day course, which the local authority are hosting. And then she's doing some more bespoke stuff in September with teaching assistants.
Brilliant. Because and that's music to my ears, because I know as a parent of children who face those battles at schools, it was always so much easier when you found a professional in that school who got it and said, there's something I can do about this. My eldest daughter, and I know you know this, but she was assessed in the school for dyslexia and told she wasn't. Mm. And then the following year, it was actually her teacher who said, of course she is. I'm dyslexic myself. I recognise all the traits in her. So the test that had been run hadn't flagged it up.
The trouble with screens is they're only as good as the person administering them. And funnily enough, I literally had this yesterday with an assessment I did. Mm. This poor kid has been assessed 3 times. She's been told she's dyslexic. She wasn't dyslexic, and then she is dyslexic again. Goodness. And actually, all that's going on in this particular situation is school actually did a really good job of putting intervention in place. Mm. So it kind of masked some of it. Mm. So it looked like... And dyslexia doesn't go away, for the record, but it looked like it wasn't impacting as much. Yeah. The person that carried out the screen didn't really know what they were looking for. So this poor kid, like the confidence and self-esteem, like her struggles had been completely devalidated. Mm. And now she's had another screen that says she potentially is dyslexic again, which is why the parents have like said, we need a formal diagnosis now. But going back to the conference, I think what's been so incredible about the ripples from that is that I haven't led them. Like, people that were at the conference picked up what I had kind of started and have run with it. Yeah. So that is just so refreshing. Yeah, that actually, you know, those ripples kind of are keeping on going. And I really hope that the same happens this year. This year, there is a slightly different emphasis. So last year we called it, we called it the Dyslexia and Dyscalculia Conference because that's what it was. Mm. But this year we're calling it the So What Now Conference because lots of, as we talked about right at the very beginning with the coaching program, sometimes it's not necessarily about the diagnosis. It's about looking at the traits and how we support those. And lots of the feedback from the SENCOs was, we've got a diagnosis or we're suspecting it, but so what now? Like, so what do we do next? So we're calling it the So What Now Conference. I've got an incredibly inspirational SENCO that can't join us in person, but is going to join us live, but virtually. She is a SENCO that's written lots of books. She is going to talk to us about the fact that budgets might be pants, but what can we do with that budget? And hopefully, like, get the day really off on the right foot, inspiring us. Got Fintan O'Regan coming, who is an ex-head teacher who really specialises in ADHD. So he's going to talk about practical strategies to manage ADHD in the classroom. Dr. Helen Ross is back for a second year. She's going to talk to us about dysgraphia this year. So dysgraphia is to do with writing. I don't know very much about it, so I'm really looking forward to learning more about that myself. So she's coming to talk to us about dysgraphia. And then we've got Kat, the other side of the Dyscalculia Network. Rob came last year. Kat's coming this year. And she's going to do a real practical hands-on math strategies workshop in the afternoon. We'll be having roundtable discussions just like we did last year. And then we'll be ending the day with the most powerful bit, which is a panel Q&A. So all the experts will be on a panel. And we'll open the floor to questions.
Sounds amazing.
So last year.
Yeah. How do people get in touch with you if they're listening to this thinking, who is this woman? Yeah, we need to know more.
You need to know more. So you need to find, I'm on all social media platforms and my handle is at Dyslexic Life with Jo Rees. Mm-hmm. So if you find me at Dyslexic Life with Jo Rees, you'll be able to find my websites. But my website is either Another Way Round or Dyslexic Life with Jo Rees. The other thing you can do for fun, this is my husband's favourite thing to do because it mortifies me, is put Jo Rees Dyslexia into Google, click on videos, and my head will come up a million times.
And I would thoroughly recommend that if this topic interests you and you want to know more, Jo is absolutely an invaluable resource and has been so supportive to my girls, and the eldest one of which passed her English GCSE on her fourth attempt.
She did. It was the best day ever.
Yeah.
You phoned me to tell me she'd done that, and then I went to pick up my daughter's results. So, fab.
So, absolutely brilliant. So, thank you so much. And definitely, we're not going to leave it another year before we get you back because
I
want to hear all about this conference. Sounds amazing.
Cool.
So, thank you so much for coming in to see us again.
Thanks for having me.